Good evening, everybody. Welcome to tonight's Shir. Be'ez Hashem, we will be speaking about the sugya of Shinui Tevaim Nishtana HaTeva. When do we say in Halacha that things have changed over the course of history? The way I titled it is Nishtana HaTeva, when Halacha and science collide. So we have a number of issues, circumstances in Chazal and in the Shulchan Aruch and various places in Halacha where you see that what Chazal seem to be understanding and the world that we live in and that we experience don't really jive. Now, 99.9% of the time it does, but there is that 0.001% where it doesn't, and it often rubs us the wrong way. And it's very important to figure out how to deal with this, because there are a number of situations where the ramifications can be not just significant, but life and death, literally. And I'm going to give you two examples on opposite sides of the coin where the way we figure out how to deal with the concept of Nishtana HaTeva, or when you have a collision of health and halacha and science, could have a ramification of life and death. And then we'll get into the sugya as we afterwards. So, number one, if you open up the, mention one thing first, then we'll get to it later, and then we'll talk about a second point. The point that we'll talk about later is the following. Chazal assumed throughout all of Shas, that a baby that is born during the 8th month of pregnancy will not live. And therefore, if you turn your sheet to page 3 in the middle, if you look on the middle of page 3, you will see we'll start with this, Tan Rabbanan, Shabbos Kuflamid Hei Amar Aleph. Ben Shiva, if you have a 7-month-old fetus, mechalin alavas haShabbos. If something happens, then you mechal Shabbos for a 7-month-old fetus. Ben Shmona, an 8-month-old fetus, that we assume there's more risk to, and that we don't assume that that fetus will live, ain't mechalin alavas haShabbos. This is even if it is born. That means if a baby's born after 7 months of gestation, your mechal Shabbos is going to live. If it's born after 8 months of gestation, we assume it won't live. Hold on one second, please. If it's born after 8 months, even though it's kicking and crying and doing all the things that babies do and making and everything else, you're not letting me mechal Shabbos if it's in danger. Continues the end of that line of the Gemara. Ben Shmon Hareu Ke'evan, if it's in a baby that's born during the 8th month of pregnancy, Hareu Ke'evan, it's Mukta Machmas Gufo, it's just like a dead body, basically. Even though it's alive, kicking, talking, I mean not talking, crying. Also Taltalo, you're not even allowed to move this baby. Imagine, a baby's born in the maternity ward, since it's during the 8th month, you assume it's not going to live, and let it die. So that is a Gemara in Shabbos, and believe it or not, it's Paskin of the Shulchan Aruch, which we'll see later. That means if we're going to follow the science that is indicated to us by this Gemara in Shabbos, and seems to be Paskin in the Shulchan Aruch as well, you're going to let this little baby die. That's what the halacha states. We won't be mechal Shabbos. We'll let the baby die. And that is very significant because you and I know that we have a pediatric, OBG, but you're a pediatric emergency room. I don't know if you've gotten any babies, any births in the ER. Well, not in the pediatric ER by definition. Okay. So you don't have, so if you have an eight month pregnancy that is coming to be delivered, you know, usually we try to do whatever we can, and usually those babies do make it. So our science does not mesh or match what Chazal tell us was the science. So this is a matter of life and death, literally. Now let's turn back to the beginning of our discussion. We have another life and death application of this question in a different way. Here, we have not a shaila of life and death as far as somebody living or not, but the question of, is somebody going to be chayiv to be killed or not? Is something considered Chil Shabbos? So here we have a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis, that talks about killing bugs. On Shabbos, Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ein Horgin es HaMa'acholes B'Shabbos. Diri B'Shamai, what is HaMa'acholes? Look at Rashi, Akina, a lice. A louse, I think, is the singular for lice, right? A louse. Diri B'Shamai, Beisil Matir, and Beisil says you're allowed to kill a single lice, a louse, on Shabbos. Why? So Rashi explains, and we'll actually look at the Gemara, and we'll see why, of all animals, you're not allowed to kill on Shabbos. Of course, you're not allowed to kill. It's Shechita. It's Nisa D'Araisa. It's one of the 39 Malachas. But for some reason, a lice, even bugs, you're not allowed to kill on Shabbos. Also, Issa D'Araisa, no less. But why is a louse permitted to kill? So jump to the Gemara of Zainam and Beis in Shabbos. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Ha-Horeg, Kina b'Shabbos, Kahori Gamal b'Shabbos. It's like killing a camel, meaning it's a real live animal. Just because, why do they pick camel? Why not pick, I don't know, a rabbit? It's trying to say, what's the biggest animal that we know of? Tallest. So it's trying to, the kina is the smallest thing that we're familiar with. And he's trying to indicate to you that killing this, even though it's so tiny, it's no different than killing the tallest animal that we're familiar with, which is a camel. Or, I don't know, giraffe. I don't know how you say giraffe in... What?
Whale is much
bigger. Yeah, but yeah, that's true. But whales aren't running around the backyard. Maskethor of Yosef. Rav Yosef says, wait a second. I thought, without going into this, Lo pligi rabbana le de Rebbe Lazar el bekina, de'ena par v'rava. Why does Rebbe Lazar say that kina, why do rabbanan say that you're allowed to kill a kina? Because it's eno par v'rava. It does not reproduce. But all other insects, all other, I'll use the word animals, but all other insects who do reproduce, everyone agrees that you're not allowed to kill them. So what do we have here? We have a Gemara that is assuming that lice, do not reproduce. They rather
spontaneously
generate. Right. They spontaneously generate. So you're going
to
give an answer that one of the Achronim gives, which we're not going to mention tonight, but that's going to be a resolution. But the simple reading of the Gemara is that they don't reproduce. Now you and I know that since Louis Pasteur did his work around 250 years ago, we now know that there are no bacteria or living things that just spontaneously reproduce. They have small eggs maybe, but they all come from somewhere. All living matter comes from a previous living matter so far. And the Gemara says, where do we know that something that does not reproduce, like, as the Gemara suggests, a louse, where do we know that's you're allowed to kill that on Shabbos? Just because it doesn't reproduce, therefore you could kill it? Just because it's spontaneously generated, it's still a live organism now, why should you be able to kill it on Shabbos? V'shneim lelamdua elam me'elim. Why? What does elam mean? The Torah talks about the elim ma'adamim. The elim adamim were the goats that had pretty colored leather skins that were used to cover the Mishkan. And we know, of course, that that's the source for the 39 Malachas, is the Avodas HaMishkan. The elim adamim were needed, so they shechted. Where do you see Shechit as one of the 39 Malachas? The elim adamim were shechted in the Mishkan to provide the tent, the canopy, the top covering of the Mishkan. So that's how we know that Shechit was done in the Mishkan. So therefore, if that's the source for one of the 39 malachas of Shechita, so where do we know? So any malacha of Shechita will have to be dumya to the one that was done in the Mishkan. So just like Elim Adamim are, just like the Elim Adamim were animals that reproduce, so too anything that will be similar to it also will be only those that reproduce. So that's the source, how we know that lice, which the Gemara tells us does not reproduce, it's just spontaneously generated, is not going to be subject to the Issur Shechita on Shabbos. So now, what do we have? We have a Gemara that's saying that lice do not reproduce, and therefore you could kill it on Shabbos. So that means if you, halacha l'maisa rabosai, I remember when I was in camp, Shalom remembers, sometimes you would walk. It was in the Poconos. Sometimes you'd walk and you'd enter a cloud. Not a cloud, but like 50 of them, which is a swarm. And then you'd walk through it and then 5 feet later you'd be out of it. But they'd be around you. So I remember when we were kids, we'd clap our hands and see how many dead ones are on our hands. According to the Gemara, you could do that on Shabbos. According to the Shulchan Aruch, what do you think the Shulchan Aruch says? Well, let's look at the Shulchan Aruch here in Shin Tes Zayin. Parush, certain kind of bug, hanigra barguv b'lashon arav. I don't know so much Arabic. Also letzudo, you're not allowed to kill that. You're not allowed to hunt that bug nor kill that bug. Look at the next pair, the next sentence. Avalkina mutu laharga. So Shulchan Aruch says explicitly, you can kill lice on Shabbos. If you find one crawling up your sister's neck at the base of her hairline, you could smack her really hard. For all those of you who don't like your sisters. Now, I could get away with that because I only have brothers. So, but you're allowed to kill those little gnats or lice. You're allowed to kill it on Shabbos. That's the Shulchan Aruch says. Why? Because they don't reproduce. They're spontaneously generated. What's the problem? The problem is that Louis Pasteur told us that that's not true. So now I want to ask you, who's going to be frummer? If you're frum and you take the words of the Gemara literally, so what's going to be the result? If you're really frum, that means you're going to take the words of the Gemara literally and you're going to be allowed to kill a lice on Shabbos. If you're going to be not so frum and say, no, I don't want to, you know, things have changed, we live in modern times, our science is better, so then what are you going to do? You're going to hold back from killing lice on Shabbos. Sort of, right, it's the opposite of what you normally think. The more modern thinker and the more open-minded and liberal type of person is now going to have to be more machmir, more frum. So which one, if I want to be really frum, which one am I going to be? Am I going to be the guy who's frum and says the Gemara meant what it is, and the Gemara's word stays forever that lice are not organisms? Or am I going to be frum and say, since my science tells me that lice are definitely yes organisms, I'm going to avoid killing lice on Shabbos? It's annoying me. According to the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, it's mutar lechatchila to go ahead and got him. That's mutar lechatchila on Shabbos, only by lice, not by flies, not by mosquitoes. So when I was talking about walking, I was talking about gnats. I don't know if a gnat is the same as a louse. So I might have broadened it more than I should have. But what's that?
What about like mosquitoes?
So I don't want to get into that. It's a whole nother shear. When there's a bug that could be dangerous, it's actually the same Shulchan Aruch. You see the Shulchan Aruch that I have here from Shin Tzeh Zayin? The halacha, two halachas right before that is your discussion, but that's beyond of our discussion now. So
maggots
this
seems to spontaneously generate.
What?
Maggots
seem to, or they do?
I think they do. If you lock a rotten apple in a box, the maggots will appear.
I assume that's because there are maggot
eggs
or larvae on the apples that are not visible. I think that's what we assume. So this issue was actually a very significant issue when? In the time of Louis Pasteur. In the time of Louis Pasteur, where he basically debunked an explicit chazal. Chazal says that these organisms don't reproduce, they just spontaneously generate, and Louis Pasteur found out that that's simply not true. So that means Louis Pasteur found that the Gemara is?
Correct.
Is what?
Incorrect.
That's very polite of you. Wrong. Right? So the Gemara is wrong. So was I appropriate for using that word? Am I blasphemous for saying the Gemara is wrong? Am I allowed to say that word? Am I allowed to say that word? That's what we have to talk about tonight. So I remember speaking to, this question was once raised at a question answer period when Rav Herschel Schefter was speaking. And he said, that's the question from the Rila Prante in the Pachad Yitzchak. Not the Pachad Yitzchak of Huttner from 60 years ago. Not the Pachad Yitzchak that was written earlier. Not the Pachad Yitzchak that you're familiar with, the encyclopedia Pachad Yitzchak. Sefer Pachad Yitzchak by the Rila Prante, who lived around the time of Louis Pasteur. And I have it here in front of you, in the with the yellow. And I assume so. With the name Lampranti, I assume he's Italian. Louis Pasteur is French, right? Louis, right? With an S, so he definitely has to be French. Unpronounced letters. So look at what I highlighted. And these are the... now, obviously, none of you heard of the Rila Pranti previously. But you'll see what he says. Aniatzar HaKosev, look at what I highlighted in yellow, right by that first red arrow. Ilav de Mistafin, if I wouldn't be scared to argue on the Gemara, Amina, I would say to Bizmanenu, that nowadays, Shachach Mehatoldos, scientists, Hibitu Viro, they looked with their microscopes and they saw, V'yadu v'kasvu d'kol b'alcha yiyah mishayiyah, any organism, any living organism, heaven min ha-beitzim, comes from eggs, larvae, something. There's some, they don't just spontaneously generate. V'chol zeh hilchichu b'rayas b'ruros. They used empiricism, they've proved it in a lab or wherever they proved it, and it's proven. If that's the case, then according to our science, should you be allowed to kill that those lice? Emkein shomer nafsho yirchak mehem. V'lo yarog, lo parish, don't kill any of those bugs that, of course, you're not allowed to kill. V'lo kina, nor the lice, the louse. V'al yachnes asav esafek chiyuv chatas. He sets it up very, he's like, takes the dagger and turns it around. To say, you realize that if you're going to rely on the Gemara's words, you're going to enter the realm of a suffek of an isur d'oraisa. You're playing with fire. These stakes are very, very high right now. So, like every good Talmud Chacham, he said, I would like to present this to those who are greater than me. And therefore he does. And that's what we're going to see with what I circled in the red. So I presented this Shaila, Shashalti S.P. Somebody, Moreno Harav Rabbeinu Reb Yehuda Brill, mi Mantova. Where's Mantova? That's Italy or that's Mantova? Not Manitoba. Not, maybe it's France, because if Canada has a place called Manitoba, maybe it's named after Mantova. Somebody will Google it and we'll know in 30 seconds. Ellie? Mantova? Okay, let's assume it's either France, Italy. Okay, so the great Rabbi Yehuda Brill, Rabbi Yehuda Eliezer Brill from Mantova, wherever this is. And this is what he wrote back. V'tshuvas, right after the red circle, that's his name. V'tshuvas hazos. And this is what he responded. I'm going to skip to the yellow. Heshivosi, this is his response. The Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Brill. Heshivosi she'ein l'shanos hadinim hamiyusadim al kapolas kadmonenu. You shall not change, you cannot change the dinim that are established based on our Kabbalah from early generations, b'shvil chakiras chachmei umos ha'olam. Just because scientists find otherwise, that does not give us the right to change halacha. Skip down. Imkein ein lazuz, to the yellow on the bottom. Ein lazuz minash nifzak al pi gemara senu. Don't budge from the psak of the gemara. Afil kol ruchos chakiras ha'enoshios sheba'olam ba'oz v'enoshios bo. Even if all the winds of scientific research come to try to uproot and shake and push aside the psak of the Gemara, it can't. You know why? Ki Ruach Hashem diber banu. Gemara is an articulation of the Ruach Hashem. It was written with a certain level of Ruach HaKodesh at some level.
Infallibility.
Call it that.
So you let the 8-month-old baby die.
That's what's going to come out, right?
That's what he said.
Yeah, so if we apply this, it sounds like you're going to let the 8th month baby die. Correct. That's what would come out from here. But we'll get to there, hopefully. And now he goes, skip straight ahead towards the end, and he'll mention something very exotic and interesting, which, again, is hard to swallow. Borei, come and I'll bring you a proof. Mashakos Hanesha Hagodo, the Rambam. The great Rambam, the rationalist Rambam, v'chol chakira harambam, the Rambam who himself was a scientist, in the Perish HaMishnah and whatever Perek, al-Akhbar, he talks about the existence of a mouse, shechetzio ofer v'chetzio adama, a mouse that's half dirt. So you see that there, and the Rambam says the Rambam accepts that as being the case. You and I know from science that there ain't no mouse running around that's half dirt. So therefore, you see that even though it's hard for us to wrap our heads around, we accept what the Gemara says. And therefore, what is he ultimately holding? That we have the right to follow halacha. And halacha says that the lice, are spontaneously generated. There's no iser killing them on Shabbos. Go ahead and kill it on Shabbos. Nothing wrong.
First of all,
there is a place in Italy. Italy, great. Let's assume it's Italy. Let's assume he's from Italian, which makes sense, because Lampranti also sounds Italian, so it makes sense.
So are we saying that they did spontaneously generate scientists are wrong? Or are we saying, no, the scientists are right, but the Lamaisa we follow Allah with the Chazal?
you're asking a great question. You're asking in a sophisticated way, are we saying that Chazal are right and the scientists are wrong? Or are we saying that even though the scientists have found whatever they found, we still have the right to follow Chazal?
Yes.
So you will see that the later poskim, which I don't have here, do take that latter route. They assume that even though we might have empirical knowledge otherwise, again, some say the Gemara is wrong. Some say that the scientists are wrong. Torah says otherwise. I don't think people in our day and age and society would feel comfortable saying that. The way we would probably say it would be that despite the fact that the scientists have proven this, nevertheless, Chazal have told us that you're allowed to kill a lice. Because they gave a reason that it's spontaneous and generated, and we know there's no such thing as spontaneous generation, but nevertheless they said you're allowed to kill it, and therefore we're allowed to follow
that's
that which Chazal yeah. say. Yeah, okay. Yeah, so don't budge from the psak of the... Right. Very good. Yes, yes. Copernicus is actually mentioned explicitly in the poskim in that discussion, yeah. It took me like 3 seconds to figure out what's kuf, vav, pei, that I realized it was Copernicus. Yeah, heliocentrism, yeah. That's another aspect of this discussion. We're not going to touch that.
That's not halakha l'maaseh.
Yes, it is. It is in the discussion of the need on Pesach for when you make matzah of using mayim shalanu, water that's left overnight, because since the sun is on the other side of the world, so it warms up the subterranean water aquifers, and therefore you shouldn't use water from there because it's warm. Rather use water that you put into a jar the day before to cool off. So you say it doesn't matter if it's heliocentrism or geocentrism, it just means that one is moving. Fine, I hear. Okay. Okay, I'm not familiar with that. Fine, but that is another application. We're not going to talk about that. So that's what he wrote to this Shoel, to the Ril Apranti. So the Ril Apranti responds to him. V'haisa tshuvasi elav, this is the last paragraph. So I responded to him, I hear what you wrote, and you're saying that you could kill them. Keep in mind, who's being machmir, who's being mekel?
Right.
You, who's are being so frum and saying, let's follow what Chazal said, you're the one who's being mekel. I'm the one who's being machmir and saying, you're not allowed to do this anymore. Jump down to the last part of the highlight, the yellow highlights. Delav kol mili, this is a famous line. Delav kol mili, this Amar b'Gemara, not every line that is stated in the Gemara, mipi Kabbalah, is from Hashem. Meaning, Ella, the Chachma Yisrael dibru gam heim lefamim, mipi ha-secha v'chakir ha-nashis, v'lo mipi Kabbalah. Yes, the vast majority of Shas is what they knew with their Ruach HaKodesh, with their divine guidance, but there are lines here or there that they had conversations with the people of science or with whatever other investigation that they made that might not be from Hashem, and that they also included a line here or there, like this, for example. Let me pick Kabbalah. And no. That Dirbach Habalash Mene Adam is just a linguistic style.
Right, so this
not
is how people refer to it. It's different. So yes, we know that there's nothing, there's this thing as ideation, and we know that everything has ideation, but the way that you're seeing it, this is how you see it, so we'll call it that.
No, here it's not just a question of what you're calling. This is not semantics. Here we're saying you're actually allowed to kill this animal.
Because it's viewed as if it's not...
So you're already giving explanations. You're giving an explanation like Ellie wanted to give before. That's already sophisticated. That's not the pashtus. The pashtus is it spontaneously generates, so you're allowed to kill it. It's not a chai. You're saying, no, really it is chai, but it's very small and it's hard to notice, and the halacha shechita was never said, and on an animal that's not so noticeable, it's chiyus. That's complicated. You might be right. There are those who say that. But that's not, certainly not the pashtus. Okay, so what we have here is two approaches. We have the approach of the Ril Apranti, who's quite nervous to accept what the Gemara says literally, because you're going to end up with a chivcha, God forbid, violating the Siddharaisa if you're going to follow the Gemara, because we know that's not true anymore. On the other hand, you have the person who he asked, probably because the person he asked is probably a greater person. That's why he asked him. Usually you don't ask somebody smaller than you, who said, sorry, The Gemara says it's mutter, it's mutter. So let's turn the page. The Michta Meliyahu doesn't like the Rila Pranti. I will tell you before we continue that if you open up Baruch HaShulchan, the Mishnah Brura, I believe Mishnah Brura is Mekel to kill a lice, and the Aruch HaShulchan, all contemporary, more contemporary, you know, Svarim that were written in the, you know, the early 1900s, well after this, the knowledge of Louis Pasteur was already become knowledge that they are paskin. So halach lemaisa, we do seem to paskin. Again, what would I do if I came across a louse on Shabbos? I'm terrified. But it does seem that the poskim do come out that it's mutter. It's a little bit harder for us to understand, and maybe we have some answers. But the Michta Meliyahu. What's that? We'll see. We have some poskim who address that directly. We'll get there. There's a Chajnist, there's a Shlomo Zalman, we'll get there in another page or two. So the Michta Meliyahu, Rav Eliyahu Dessler, which is typically not a halacha sefer, but I saw him quoted in this in the poskim who discussed this this inyan. So he quotes, who is he quoting when he's quoting Adoni Mori v'Rabbi Zal? Dessler is a Talmud of Eliyahu Pian, I'm assuming. Probably Rav Eliyahu Lapian, I would assume. So Rav Eliyahu Lapian was asked about these types of issues where, if you look at the second line on top of page 2, things that the reasons for which were given, Einam Lefi HaMetziyah Sheniskal B'Mechkar HaTivi, that aren't based on our modern science. And he gives a number of examples. One of them is the Gemara says that a cat that attacks is more dangerous than a dog, and that's usually not the case. Number two, the case of that you mentioned of the water that the water that we use for matzah is based on, again, the fact that the sun turns, again, which we know that's not how the world works. And three, this case of Gimel Hadamuta Laro Kina, that you're allowed to kill a louse on Shabbos. And he says, I don't like, you look in the parentheses, what's on the line, Delo Kedivri Harila Pranti in the Pachad Yitzchak, who said that you're not allowed to kill it. Vatam Omar, he quotes his Rebbe again, I think it's Rabbi Pian. Look at what I highlighted here in yellow. And this is a very interesting perspective on how to look at the interaction between history and halacha a little in the following point. Ki esa halacha yodu chazal bekabala midori doros. Chazal knew that you're allowed to kill a lice on Shabbos. They knew that. Not when they wrote the Gemara. They had a Kabbalah from generation before generation, all the way back, who knows how long back, maybe to Moshe Rabbeinu, that you're allowed to kill lice on Shabbos. In the time of the Gemara, they said, let's think, why would this be? So in the time of the Gemara, they said, well, we could understand why you'd be allowed to kill a louse on Shabbos, probably because it's spontaneously generated. So now, you and I found out in the time of Louis Pasteur that reason that they thought up in the time of the Gemara period, the time of Amoraim, is a wrong reason. Okay, maybe that's a wrong reason, but the halacha is still right. Because the halacha is, the reason that was given is not, since we have this reason, therefore the halacha applies, but the exact opposite. We're starting with the halacha we know it's mutter, and they say the halacha is mutter. Why is it mutter? I think maybe it's because of spontaneous generation. You're saying, what is the rationale? If that's not the real rationale? I don't know, and to be honest, it doesn't really matter. Right? That's exactly what he's saying. Because we have
It was a machlokas.
Yeah, that is true. There was a machlokas in the Gemara whether you're allowed to kill a louse. I don't know if I agree with you. There could be a machlok. Tzvi Lemaski is saying that how could you say that it's a Kabbalah tradition that we have generations back if the Gemara said that there's a machlokas where they're allowed to kill it? That's a good ha'ara. You could have machlokas in the Kabbalah. I know we don't have machlokas on halacha Moshe Mitzrayim. This might not exactly be halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, but it's still fine. Look at the beautiful language of on the fourth to last line, the second yellow line that I have here. Aval be'inyan hasber mativim. When it comes to the explanations, of the scientific explanations that we find in Chazal, that we find in Shas, look at what it looks sort of double underlined. Lo ha-hezber mechayev es hadin, ela lehefech, hadin mechayev es ha-hezber. Fabulous quote. The explanation doesn't determine the outcome, the halacha. The halacha demands an explanation, but the halacha is what we know already. That's a given. And the explanation could come and go. V'hatam ha-muzkar b'gemara, eno hatam ha-yachid hev shri benyan. It's not the only possible reason. It's true, they gave a reason that you're allowed to kill a lice because of whatever science they knew at that time. Okay, if that ended up, that reason is wrong, so we can look for other reasons. Maybe what you said, maybe they knew, maybe Chazal felt that there was some danger that these lice carry diseases that are very deadly, and Chazal wanted to make sure that we shouldn't catch. They had some kind of West Nile virus that these lice caused, and therefore they said it could kill it. I don't know. Either way, we know that you'll let it kill it. Okay. So that was a very creative and beautiful perspective of the Mechtav Me'eliyahu, Chelek Dalad, page 355. Okay. Now, we see this Shaila rear its head in what I spoke about between Mincha and Ma'ariv, and that is the question of eating fish and meat. With washing your hands in between, without washing your hands in between. And the Shulchan Aruch said, the Gemara says again, if you eat, you shouldn't eat the binisa fish, that was the name of the fish, binisa, with meat. Shulchan Aruch paskins right here in the next source, in Hilchas Seuda, Kufayin Gimel, it also paskins it in Hilchas Kashrus in Yerodeah, this is in Aruch Chaim, bein basal adagim, between fish and meat, chova lito, you have to wash your hands, because it could cause tzara'as. Therefore, you should avoid it. And which is something that we all do. None of us know the terrible dangers of eating fish and meat. Yet every one of us, when you serve gefilte fish on Shabbos, you always take the plates, clear it off, and rinse it off and bring out a clear plate, which is the halacha, as passed in the Shulchan Aruch that I just showed you. Even though we don't really know, the Gemara says it's not halacha, it's sakana, because it could cause tzaras. I don't know anybody who got tzaras by eating fish and meat, but I also don't know any other Jews who eat fish and meat. But maybe if they would, we would get tzaras.
You have to wash our hands in the middle of Yisrael?
So there are two versions. Right, we eat something, we have a lechaim in the middle, we drink a cup of seltzer. Our minhag is not to wash our hands. There are two versions, and it appears in the Shulchan Aruch two times. One it says to rinse your mouth, and one it says to wash your hands. So we do the latter.
Yeah, but don't we say tzaras is a spiritual disease rather than physical disease?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe there are different types of tzaras. You're the doc. You have the PhD, not me.
No, because we say that if it was a physical disease, you wouldn't be relying on the kohen, you'd be relying on a doctor.
Yeah, there's no question that there's some. Well, no. It could be you got tzaras, but it wasn't metame until the psak of the kohen. You're saying, oh, you didn't get tzaras until the kohen passed because you got tzaras.
No, it's not. Sorry, it doesn't have a din of tzaras until the kohen.
Right, passed. So maybe it's tzaras, but it doesn't have the tumas tzaras until the kohen passed. So the bias isn't tummy until the kohen passed. So I don't know the answer to your
question. The OU allows a small amount of fish and some of the things like that. The Heinz 57 sauce.
Yes. That's a different Shaila. Worcestershire sauce, if I could pronounce it properly. Yeah, so that's another Shaila. If you could assume that if there's bitul b'shishim when it comes to halacha, do we apply the rule of bitul b'shishim when it comes to sakana? That's another shir, not for now. Okay. Either way, what I want to show you is you're all frumer than the Magen Avraham. And you're all frumer than the Mishnah Berurah. Because look at the Magen Avraham, which is quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, in the middle of page 2. Magen Avraham, Siman Kufayin Gimel, on this halacha, where it says, where the Shulchan Aruch said that you have to wash your hands between meat and fish, because it's kashla davar acher, it's challenging, it could cause davar acher, which is tzaras. Ve'efsher, says the Magen Avraham, debizman hazeh, ein sakana kol kach. It's not so dangerous, like the Gemara seems to indicate. Because we know numerous things, look at what he says. The chazinan, we see kama dvarim hamuzkar b'gemara shem sakana l'rach ra shar dvarim. We see numerous things that the Gemara says is dangerous. Va'inu ein amazik. Rabbo said, you know that the Gemara says that if you drink water during shalosh shudas, it's dangerous. Yeah, it's dangerous. We don't hold like that, right? No one holds like that. We, our shul gives out seltzer, water bottles and seltzer. Seltzer and water, the same thing.
You're a natural spring. You don't take water from a natural spring.
Okay, that could be. So why says the Magen Avraham, a lot of things that the Gemara says that are dangerous. Nishtanu hativios, the physical science of things has changed. Vigama kolafitev haratos. Maybe it was dangerous in certain countries, or certain, you know, maybe the fish in certain countries were dangerous with meat, and not in our countries. Maybe our bodies now are different than they were. Maybe our bodies in certain locales, there's certain immunities in certain locations that we have that they didn't have in certain other locations. So again, how to say Nishtana Hativios that the science has changed, the teva, the nature has changed, we could say that in different ways. We could say that people in different locations are a little bit different. We could say that there's been a development of the human anatomy. There's been some adjustment to human anatomy over time. That doesn't mean that we used to be apes and now we're people. That means there was some within Homo sapien that could have been some slight adjustments based over the course of history. What is the change? How is the change? I don't know. But you see the Magen Avraham says right now, according to the Magen Avraham, you don't really have to be so nervous about fish, your gefilte fish, and your chalent.
Also, the Gemara lists a lot of remedies that they used then.
Yes, yes, that I didn't go into, but that's also, I'm going to have one source who mentions that. Okay.
Oh, you still don't eat them together. Maybe we don't wash our hands.
So you haven't been to my house for Shabbos lunch with Mr. Milimansky. Maybe I do.
I do.
You'll have to come and find out.
I doubt it very much.
Okay, you'll come and you'll see. Okay, so now I'm not going to go into the Chasam Sofer, which I spoke about to Mincha Mayav. The Chasam Sofer says, how come the Rambam omits this halacha of fish and meat? The Rambam doesn't say it. The Shulchan Aruch says it twice, two different places. The Rambam doesn't say it all. So he says maybe it's because the Gemara is only talking about a very specific fish, the Binisa fish, not general fish in general. Or maybe the Rambam holds Nishtana HaTeva. It must be the Rambam himself felt that the science has changed, the people have changed, the fish has changed, meat has changed, interactions between fish and meat are different now. Our people have different immunities, I don't know what, but something changed in science, in the anatomy, and in the nature of either people or fish or meat or whatever. And therefore, the Rambam says it no longer applies. And therefore, the Rambam basically omitted it because it doesn't apply nowadays, because the world has changed. Fine. Now let's go back to what my father-in-law raised based on the discussion we've had until now. How does this apply to the most important Shaila, which is the life of this 8-month-old baby? Baby is born after 8 months. With the Gemara we start with this, Gemara Shabbos Kuf Lamed Hei says that a baby who's born in the 8th month of his gestation will not live and therefore is assumed to be a nefel and is not going to live, and therefore you can't be Mechal Shabbos to save the baby. And if the baby is born after the 8th month, let the baby fall on the floor and don't even touch it. Don't wash it. When we had our last baby, right when the baby's born, they put some eye drops in the eye, they wash it off. You can't touch it, nothing. You can't touch it. That's what the Gemara says. But look at Tosus. Tosus already, 1,000 years ago in Ashkenaz, Tosfos in Masech Shabbos Kuf Lamed Hei Amud Aleph, it's in the middle of page 3. Tosfos says on the Gemara. The Gemara says Ben Shemona, a baby that's born after 8 months, Hareu Ke'Evan. It has the status, halachic status of Evan V'Azal Tatal. It's Mukta. The baby's Mukta. Yes. Nirlari says Tosfos. Da Achshav Mutur LeTatal Kol Tinokos. Now you could touch. You could be Metatal all babies. Why? Look what he writes. He doesn't say because anything changed. He says, because we don't know when it's really a baby in the 8th month, which is the baby that the Gemara told us won't live. She'ain anu bekiyin. V'kulam k'mo safik ben ches ben safik ben tez. We don't have great, you know, we don't really know when she became pregnant. We don't really know, you know, exactly what month she's up to. Maybe she got pregnant right after the mikveh, maybe it was 2 weeks after the mikveh. I don't know exactly she became pregnant. But what happens if we do know? For example, the husband, she came back from the mikvah, the husband was there, and then the husband went on a business trip the next day and hasn't been here for 8 months. So it had to have been, you know, the eighth month. Vafilu, says Tosos, who ben shmona vadai, kagon shelo ba'alish, so elo pamacha, so pirish. He was with his wife only one time, and then they separated, and 8 months later, the baby's born. So you know definitively it's an eight-month baby, so you can't say it's a suffix anymore. So now it's a real eighth-month baby. Gemara says, muksa, let him die. Hafilu hachi nira l'ri d'mut l'taltalo, and to give him a bris on Shabbos, that's another iser, d'oraisa. Why? Because, look at this answer, not because Chazal got it wrong. Look at what Tosa says. Damrina, hi, this baby is a bar shevahu. Really, it's a seven-month baby, but it's like a delayed seventh-month baby. That's playing word games, it sounds to me. It's not an eighth-month. He's not 12 years old. He's 11 years and 14 months. Does that mean you're 12 years? So here we have, it's a seven-month baby. If it's an eight-month baby, the Gemara said he's going to die. You can't do anything for an eighth-month baby. This is a seven-month baby who's been there more than past the seven-month mark. It's in the seven-month track, okay? Yeah, it's in the seven-month track, and it just got delayed in the seven-month track.
The same number of gestation is 38 to 42 weeks. That means a 43-week-old baby is too much. No, we're overcooked and stayed up longer. It's not that there's something wrong.
Right, sometimes you have a baby who's born 2 weeks after the due date, and they just cooked longer. So here you have a baby that's a seven-month baby, which could live. Seven-month babies and nine-month babies do live. Eight-month babies don't live, the Gemara says. So maybe it's a seven-month baby, seven-month track, who just cooked a little longer. Okay, fine. So how do we paskin? Do you think we paskin like this, Tosus's leniency? So he didn't say that anything changed scientifically. He didn't say that Chazal were wrong. He said that you have to re-examine how you look at this baby, that this baby must be a seven-month baby who could therefore live, but he just cooked a little bit longer. Look at the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Hilchas Yibam. Now, why is this important to know for Hilchas Yibam? Let's say a man dies childless, except his wife is pregnant and she gives birth to an eight-month gestation. So what do we assume an eight-month baby is going to do? Drop dead. He's a nafel. He can't live, Gemara said. An eight-month baby can't live. So this is the only child that he has, an eight-month baby, and the baby's born. Kicking, crying. Does his wife need Yibam? According to the Gemara, this eight-month baby is going to drop dead in the next few days.
Wait 30 days.
So he's saying we should wait 30 days and find out. The bus, there's one flight out to Australia to go where the brother is to do Yibam. You either take the flight and...
No, you don't have to wait. You can just shoot the baby.
Oh, Tzvi Lomansky has a great idea. I'm glad we're not recording this. Oops, we are. Just shoot the baby. Right? Okay.
Assuming that we're right, the eight-month-old baby Chazal has passed in the halacha that it will not live.
Right.
The end discussion. Then what will we?
The problem is that you and I know that sometimes they do live. I don't know if that's his. Let's see. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says. Let's see what the Shulchan Aruch says. Hilchas Yibam. It's right here. You'll be surprised to see who's going to address our question. None other than the Ramah himself. Let's look at the Shulchan Aruch first. Hilchas Yibam. There's Evan and Ezra. We're flying all over the place. We talk about, you know, Hilchas Seuda. We're talking about Hilchas Kashrus. We're talking about Hilchas Shabbos. We're talking about Hilchas Yibam. We're going all over the world here. Misha Meis. V'niach Ishtamu Beres. Imhipila. If she has a miscarriage, then she gets Yibam. Vim yolda v'yatzav lad chai la'avir ha'olam, afilu meis b'sha shenolad, if the baby was born, and died a moment later, no, there's no yibam. But midi rabbanan, you do chalitza. Says the Ramah, yesh omrim, to bizman hazeh, this is what I want. To bizman hazeh, afilu lo nechasa b'chalish ha'tshi, rach yom echad, mavad yom shenis arba. If we assume that the pregnancy went to the ninth month, then we assume the baby will live.
Okay,
That normally we say that a woman in her ninth month doesn't have a partial month. She'll probably, once she gets to the ninth month, she'll probably finish the whole month of gestation. Many people already raised the question that that's not true. We have to say, look at the Lashon of the Ramah. Things have changed. And there are numerous things in Chazal. Again, it's not exactly what I was talking about. I was talking about, does she have to Yibam or not? He's saying, no, once the baby's born, you don't have to do Yibam. But he's talking about, is there a possibility of, the Chazal said that the gestation gets to the 9 months, it's going to get to the end of the month. And here we know from fact that there are many of babies that are born in the middle of the 9 months, in the first week of the ninth month, in the third week of the ninth month. That's against Chazal? No, things change, the Ramah says. And he quotes who? Look at the small letters of Beis Yosef, B'Shem HaTashbeitz. So I have here the tshuva of the Tashbeitz, actually the son of the Tashbeitz, who's talking about an interesting case, talking about this case where a baby was, this very complicated case that I was describing about a case of Yibum, where the husband had died and left over a pregnant wife, and the wife gave birth. They did all the math. They figured out that the wife, when she gave birth, was probably in the eighth month, which theoretically should be a baby that won't live. And somebody was leaving, and he had to figure out, are you going to do a Yibum or not? So the Tashbeitz, v'hitir es ishto. Look at what I... we don't have to look through the Hotshuv itself. He says, we find that many times, even though the Gemara says that things work a certain way, it doesn't always work that way. It doesn't always work that way. And therefore, the Beis Yosef says, just because the Gemara said it, that's not always the way science has it. Now, based on that, what do you expect to find in the Shulchan Aruch about an eighth-month baby in Michal Shabbos? Well, let's look at the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Shabbos. So right after the underlying lines, Havlad Shenolad, Osnol Kol Tzarchav, right? A baby's born on Shabbos? The doctor does everything that has to be done. That everything that he would do on a Tuesday for this little baby, he'll do on Shabbos. Of course, life-saving, of course. For honey, Mili, but this is true only, b'nolad l'tes al zayin. Aval nolad l'ches, o suffix zayin b'nchav, etc. Ein mechal in a love. We're not mechal Shabbos for a baby born in the eighth month. That's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. Not only that, the next sif says that baby is even mukta. Wow. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, a baby's born in the eighth month. It says, I don't want to go into it, it says that maybe his body doesn't look fully formed. He's missing some. He doesn't have any hair. He doesn't have any nail. The nails haven't yet grown on the fingers. I don't know at what stage in gestation nails grow on the baby's fingers. Do you know, Dr. Dioni? I don't know. But the Shulchan Aruch is paskening. If you have a baby that's born after 8 months of pregnancy, and this it's not fully, fully finished, so nowadays what do we do? We put him in an incubator, and you let him cook a little bit, right? You let him cook a little bit. According to the Shulchan Aruch, let the baby drop dead. Don't be Michal Shabbos. Don't wash him. I cut it out. I put a dot, 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 dot. It said, you don't. A regular baby, you cut the umbilical cord on Shabbos, right? Not for this baby. You can't be Michal Shabbos and cut the umbilical cord. That's the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Pretty terrifying, isn't it?
No, unless the mother is in danger. But the mother might be in danger too.
I don't know, Dr. Pinter, if you don't cut the umbilical cord, is the mother in danger of bleeding out?
Yes, if you don't cut them on the same level, the baby's too high, the baby will bleed out.
Dr. Pinter said that it could endanger the mother. Yeah, okay, fine. So it could endanger the mother. You're right. So putting that aside.
You do what you do for the mother.
Let's jump, please, to the Chazon Ish and Shlomo Zalman, who discussed this very specific halacha. This answer, Abba, this is the answer to your question. Top of page five. The Chazon Ish in Hilchas Bris Mila, Simur Kuf Nun Hei, Sivkat and Dalid. Yesh Toin, there are those who are mistaken. You see where he's going already. This sovereign, Danolan, called him Tes, who Nefel, that a baby born before the ninth month is not going to live. A Misyashin him, and of Enos reason before us, and they don't try to heal such a baby. Vizet Taos. Ella, okay, skip. V'chayavin lihishtadol b'rifuasa, you have to do anything you can to heal him. U'mechal of Shabbos, And now we have testimony. For we go to the hospital, Maaneh Yeshua and Bnei Brak, and they tell me all the time, Uvdos Rabos, many cases, the Bnei Ches Chaimus Chaimin. Babies born in the 8th month of gestation, they live. Apparently. I don't know what you want to call it, but the Chazaner says, and the Tzias is that they're living. How do you want to call it? I don't know. In the olden days, whatever, we'll skip, that's not important. The Kemeduma, I underline that's the second piece of yellow. Kemeduma de Achon is Tana HaTeva. Apparently, the world has changed. In the time of Chazal, but yes.
But that's because we have intervention now. I mean, we have surgery.
We will see that in Rav Shlomo Zalman on the left side of the column in a minute. That's not what the Chazon Ish says. The Chazon Ish is assuming even without interventions, even without incubators, babies born in the 8th month, yes. A baby born in the 6th month probably needs an incubator. But a baby born in the 8th month might not need an incubator. Again, we'll have to ask the OBGs.
You take a tray and you soak the hole.
That's another discussion. That's the Chazanish somewhere else. I don't have that Chazanish here. That's another Chazanish. The Gemara says that a treif, an animal or a human being that has a hole in a certain place in their body is going to die, right? But we know we make holes and plug up those holes and they live. So it's against
changing the type of that patient itself.
But the Gemara says the Gemara says if they have a hole here, even if it's going to heal, it will still die. And we know it's not true. You know, people walking around who had holes in their body, people had punctured lungs, and they healed afterwards. According to the Gemara, if you have a punctured lung, you're not going to live. We know people who did. So what do we see? We see that the Chazon Ish says, the famous two words, Nishtana HaTeva, and therefore, yes, even though Medina, he doesn't say that Chazal were wrong, that 8th month babies, Chazal thought 8 month babies don't live, now they do, that's really incorrect. 8th month babies do live. And Chazal were wrong. The Chazon Ish is not saying the Chazal were wrong. The Chazon Ish is saying that the science or people or babies or whatever it is, something has changed over the course of the 2,000 years from 1,500 years from Chazal till now, that therefore Halacha will also have to change because we're talking about a different Metzias.
It's sad to think that during that
what would you say about Kinnun? What would the Chazon Ish say about Kinnun?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. And Mr. Lulaski is asking, what would the Chazon Ish say about Kinnun? I don't know. On your left side, where I have a quote from Shlomo Zalman, in the footnotes of Shmir Shalas Kilchas and Perak Lamed Vav Halacha Yud Beis, here Rav Shlomo Zalman gets into incubators. He says, he quotes the Minchas Yitzchak, of Dayan Weiss from Yerushalayim, to Bezmanenu, Kashiyed, and the underlying line before the yellow. The bizmaner sheyesh incubator shebeemtzaso means through the use of the incubator efshel lahatzel gam tino katan biyoser, right? You could save a baby even after a 3 month. I don't know what's the earliest.
23 weeks
is the earliest that a baby could live. Okay, in an incubator it works. And then look what I have in highlighted. Mir Shlomo Zalman or Bach Shlita. Now it's that Sal. Shema da'af b'mag she'ein incubator. Even in a case where there's no incubator, still. Sometimes you have 7-month-old babies that, like we saw in Tosis, that 7-month-old babies that are just cooking a little bit longer, you think they're 8-month babies, really they're 7-month babies, and they could live. Why? Ki hare einenu ros shal yidei. Okay, so we see that the Metzius is that babies do live, even though they're 8-month babies. So what we have here is numerous, numerous cases, and you see that these are literally life threatening, life-determining, chive skila, shailas, that are assuming the concept of nishtana hateva. Note that what we started with saying with Rila Prante, when it came to Louis Pasteur's kinim, Louis Lapranti, the Rila Prante who says that I don't want to kill a lice nowadays on Shabbos, he didn't say that the science has changed. He said that the Chazal were relying on incorrect medical information. When we say Nishtana HaTeva, that's saying the opposite. The Chazal got it 100% right. But we live in a time when the situation and the Metzius and the Teva is indeed different. Interestingly enough, if you go really, really, really early to a letter from Shri Ragon, and I saw that it might be Shri Ragon and Rav Haigon write this letter together. Look here what I have with the quoted both in the Hebrew and the English. The Hebrew is a little hard because it's actually written like Aramaic. The Shri Ragon is talking about what Mr. Klinkowitz raised before of the Gemara in Gittin that has all the incredibly wild refuos, right? If you have a headache, just, you know, take the eye of a turtle and boil it for 700 hours while you say this chant and, you know, pour some, you know, white, you know, Chardonnay on it and, you know, drop it on your left toe and you'll feel better. You know what I'm talking about. You know those Gemaras, Mishach Zo Kodaikos. So says Rashi Ragon the following, Tzrichan Ana Lameimar, Lachon, we have to say to you, Drabbanan Lav Asusa Inan, the Rabbanan, Chazal, are not doctors. Umilin ba'alma, look what I highlighted in yellow. Umilin ba'alma de chazunhun bizimnehun. They are just reporting the things that they saw in their time. This is incredible that you have somebody as early as Rashi Ragon and Rav Haigon say something like this. U'kechad chad ketzira amrinan. And they're saying it, I don't know what that means. V'lav divrei mitzvinan. There are two ways you can read those words. Either they're not telling you halacha, or one way is to say that they're not saying halacha here. They're just sort of observing what are refuas. It's not halacha. It's not pasuk halacha. Or it means they're not teaching you, this aspect of chazal is not Torah, it's just science, and therefore it's not really biased. Therefore, do not rely on these refuos. Again, I don't think anybody is really relying on those refuos. Although I did hear, I will not name the yeshiva, but there was a yeshiva years ago that got federal funding for medical research, for looking into these. At a time in American history, I think it was in the 60s, when Americans were looking for a lot of, UFO research, they were sending millions of dollars to NASA to research UFOs. They could spend a few thousand dollars to a yeshiva somewhere that was going to research, the Gemara in Gittin for medical solutions. So either way, you see that we have somebody as early as Rashi Ragon to say that the Chazal are reporting what the Chacham of their time, the scientists of their time, know, which is like the Rila Pranti, not like the concept of Nishtan HaTavai. But we see that already, we see the Chazanish says it numerous times, we see Tosus already said that you could someplace apply the rule of Nishtana Tvayim. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about, there's a lot to learn about, but I hope we were able to at least share a number of these issues, and I want to thank you all for joining.